This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Kaylee. I'm from Glasgow. I decided to join the community and I can honestly say it's the best gift I've ever given to myself. The support you get from Shaz, Ben and the community members is second to none. The forums are great. We cover a lot of topics in there and we have a laugh, but ultimately we're there to support each other. Being able to access the forums via the app on the go is so helpful. If you're out and about and you have a wobble or you're having a bad day, there's always someone there in the forum who has felt like you feel and can offer some support and advice. The game changer for me has definitely been the Zooms. I still remember how nervous I was joining that first Zoom, but within 5 minutes, I would feel at ease. I absolutely love them and look forward to them now. Everyone on there is so lovely. There's no judgment at all. Everyone's got a different experience and different drinking habits, but we all have so much in common. I would urge anyone who is listening to this podcast who wants to take a break from alcohol to give it a go.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
I'm really excited about this episode of Over the Influence. We are in all the time zones. We are so international on this episode. It is untrue. I'm not introducing today's guest, actually. Freddie is going to be doing that very, very shortly. Before we reveal where we are in the world, who we've got in the world, I will just give you a quick recap as to who we are. My name is Sharon Hartley. I live in Lancashire in the northwest of England. I am fast approaching 3.5 years alcohol free. And when I say that out loud, it still surprises me. It is still absolutely brilliant. I used to be a daily drinker. I used to ramp it up at weekends. I became that typical mum, wine o'clock, bottle of wine a night, daily drinker, and then decided, you know what? I can change all this. So had a break from alcohol and here we are singing about sobriety on the best alcohol free podcast in all of the land. I do not do this on my own. I have got my very tanned co-host who is on the other side of the world. It is 9 o'clock in the morning where he is. Good morning, very tanned Freddie.
Good evening, very beautiful Shazza. As always, I am very, very excited to be here and I'm super excited about today's guest as well. But hello everybody, my name is Freddie. I'm coming up to 3 years sober. The big 3 years is just around the corner. I used to be a very unsober exec. That's a little cue to the guest here. I used to be a hard-working, hard-drinking, hard-partying person who very much got embroiled and lost in the work hard, play hard corporate culture. But I decided to changed my behaviours, put down the bottle, and then I found myself in New Zealand. But it wasn't a drunken trip. It was actually just part of seeing what I could be capable of and exploring life's wonderful and sober adventure.
Amazing. Cannot believe you are on the brink of 3 years, Freddie. This is really, really exciting.
I know.
How life can change. And talking of life changing, we've got producer Ben. We've dropped the name. We've not dropped background Ben. He's still here. We've dropped the name background Ben.
I say, not on me.
Yeah, sorry about that. We've dropped the name background Ben, but we have not dropped producer Ben. He's very much in the foreground and he is very, very alcohol free. Ben, how are you diddling?
Yes, good. Thank you. When we started this podcast, my nickname was background Ben because I was still drinking. I had a moderation plan at that point, but it wasn't the best idea. If you've ever gone back and listened to series one, you'll find out why. But I'm now 18 months completely alcohol free and life has changed in so many ways. I feel happier. I'm clearer headed. I'm more motivated and more energized than I ever have been. My story is that I was an executive in the radio industry. I ran 3 radio stations. With that job came a lot of responsibility, which I loved, but also quite a lot of stress, which I didn't love. Drinking for me in my 20s was something I did to enhance the experience because I found it fun. In my 30s, I was drinking to escape. that relationship with alcohol was going the wrong way. So decided to take a break. And that is now a permanent break because life has just changed in so many ways for me. I'm delighted to be here. Freddie, you're doing our intro today for our guest. We've dropped a few hints.
I'm super excited about today's guest. We've been trying to get him on the show literally probably almost a year. I find him one of the most knowledgeable, informative and inspirational voices across the whole of social media, not just the sober community. He's a business leader, he's a public speaker, coach and a mentor to people like US Navy SEALs, amongst others, as well as finding time to being the vice president at a multi-billion dollar organization. This guy is a hero, he's a legend, he's an absolute inspiration. And here he is, all the way from Los Angeles, California. It gives me great pleasure to introduce the sober executive, otherwise known as Mr. Chris Anthony.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Wow. Chaz, Ben and Freddie, I'll take an intro like that any day. That's very, very, very kind. And nothing brings me greater joy than hearing each of you introduce yourselves, but lead with your sobriety with such pride and excitement in what you've achieved. I think that's outstanding. And it's really admirable. And everything you've created here, so I'm just beyond grateful to get the chance to be on the show with you all and share some thoughts around this topic. For reference, real quick, and then we can dive into literally anything you want to talk about. I am 16 and a half years into my sobriety.
Wow.
And quite a journey. But here is the most important thing for anybody that's listening and they think, wow, that's a large amount of time. And we're all at different stages. But here's the deal in my mind, and I always think about this to stay centered, is we're all exactly in the same spot. Meaning, no matter how far we've driven down the road, we're still the same distance from the ditch. And we're all the same distance from making a bad decision again. And so that puts us on equal footing here today. Maybe I have a little bit more muscle memory, but here we are today talking and sharing and hopefully inspiring others. So thank you again for having me.
That has just blown me away. That is amazing. 16 and a half years. I thought I was doing well, Chris, at 3.5. But that's another level. Before we get into that whole journey, because there's a lot to talk about there, would you mind taking us right back to the start and what brought you on onto the path of sobriety?
Like most people, you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you make the decision that maybe the decisions I'm making every day aren't necessarily the best ones, and the decisions I'm making every day are not giving me the life that I want or deserve. I'm not giving those around me the life that they want or deserve either. That's not fair to them. And eventually, many people, most of us, we have these wake up moments of clarity, as they call them, where you start to say, wait a second, I am ruining my life through the decisions that I'm making. So I need to do something different. And for me, you know, and happy to go as far into as you want, but the reality is that I had hit a point where my career was falling apart. My marriage was falling apart. Friendships, everything around me is falling apart. My mom's dying of cancer. I mean, everything that could be going wrong was going wrong. And the thing I knew deep in my soul was that it was all because of my choice to drink. And that became a problem amongst itself or unto itself. And it only further aggravated the situation. And so I made a decision on June 20th of 2005 that I was going to, quote unquote, take the summer off from drinking. I told everybody in my orbit that I was just going to take the summer off. Hey, everybody, I'm not done drinking. No. I'm just going to take the summer off. Everyone's like, oh, why? And I said, because I need to focus on my mom being sick and I just need to be healthy for the summer and just take a break. And everyone's like, okay, that's cool. Deep down in my soul, I knew I needed to be done. 3 months later, when it was time, because the summer was over, I looked at the world and said, yeah, I'm done for good. Not one person said, what do you mean? You're not coming back? Maybe a couple people did that like to party with me, but it was the right decision. I never looked back since then. And that was 16 and a half years ago.
Chris, I'd love to come in here. And one of the reasons I first became aware of you on social media and everything that you talk about, and even from your handle, your username, the Sober Exec, resonated with me. Because as I've said before on the podcast, I won't mention any company names, but I think the companies that I used to work for and that I got to fairly senior positions in certainly moved in the same circles as your companies. 2005, you said that when you decided to stop drinking, that was just when I was entering the corporate world. And you know, I started entering that world at the end of 2004. I found myself in this whole new situation where, you know, I'd come out of university or college, surrounded by these big, powerful people talking about things that I didn't understand as, you know, this guy who didn't know how to fit in. And I quickly found that my way to fit in would be drinking. Mm-hmm. How, I'm trying to work out the best way to put this into one question. How, with your relationship with alcohol and the corporate world, was it always a negative one? Did it start off as a way to network and to build your career, and then did it go in a different direction? How was that relationship for you between drinking and work?
Alcohol to me was a great, I work in sales. I work in high performing sales cultures, and it's just natural to have drinking be a part of that culture. There's a huge stigma, especially tied to it. You look at the quote, wine and dine, take customers out and wine and dine them is sometimes the phrase or the idiom, or I'm not thinking of the right term, but you understand what I mean. Hopefully there is a big expectation that wine and drinking is very celebratory and it's a part of the process and it's a part of business. And that's a huge problem because not everybody's equipped to manage that, hence the conversation we're having today. But for me personally, what I was finding is that alcohol at the time when I was enjoying it, and I, by the way, I wasn't a get up in the morning type of drinker. It became more of a, once I started, it was like lighting a fuse. And if I was out on the job and we were traveling and on an expense account way back in other days, this is pre-company I'm with now, hallelujah, I'm all too happy to host a happy hour. I'm all too happy to take people out to dinner and get on the road and travel and enjoy my time lighting that fuse. And so I think it only further enabled it. And it was just an expectation, especially as somebody, you know, 16 and a half years ago, being earlier part of my career, I was all too hungry to fit in and perform. And like you mentioned, Freddie, you were trying to fit in and find a way with others. I mean, I like to think I have a pretty good sense of humor, pretty funny guy, but boy, I had some alcohol and I'm really funny. I'm really entertaining. And so I just use it as a medium, as a conduit to party. Unfortunately for me, there was no putting the fuse out unless I just abstained altogether. So it took me a long time to figure that out, but it's definitely problematic because it's an expectation in business and culture.
Were there any warning signs, Chris, with, and again, like I said, I have a whole host of different warning signs and stories, but I'll save those for another day. But were there any indications either from other people or the quality of your work, or was it just an internal feeling that something needs to change?
I would say yes to all of that. I mean, I was getting signals from every angle, from everybody saying, wow, you really were kind of crazy last night. Hey, maybe you should not drink so much. And that could have been coming from family members and spouses and coworkers. Grateful I never, you know, got in trouble at work per se because of drinking, or, you know, no drunk driving, none of that, thankfully. But I mean, just a lot of moments of like, wow, am I being completely hungover and miserable? You start your day already in that capacity, you just no way you're putting out your best work. There's no way. And I don't care what anybody says, like, yeah, I do my best work when I'm stressed or have a few drinks in me. Yeah, that's not scalable over time. That's not something that's going to last for you. And even the artistic friends I have that, you know, are more on the creative side of life and will say sometimes, you know, a little something to take the edge off, like that's just not sustainable over time is my learning. And so, yeah, it was just impacting me in every way you can imagine, just not being my best self and able to be truly in the moment. Because either I was getting over a hangover, I was thinking about how I'm going to get my next one.
Chris, we live in a world now where Heineken Zero advertise at the Formula One. You can go onto Amazon and buy Quitlet books. You can listen to podcasts like Over the Influence. You said that, you know, the wine and dine culture, it's an expectation of business culture to drink. Personally, I think that is starting to change now. I'd like to kind of dig into that in a little while. But yeah, as you know, we've got some of our community, OTI community members watching this recording. And Katrina has put in a question. 16 years ago, it was even more of a taboo to quit drinking than it is today. And I'm guessing there was not the variety of support available that there is today. So she's just wondering, did you use any resources to give up booze for good? Or was this just you and your own resolve?
Well, I mean, the resolve definitely came from me just knowing deep in my soul that I was sick and tired of living that life and the lie, and that I had to make a change. So that came from within, absolutely, positively. But you raise a really good point. So yeah, if we rewind to 2005, we don't have social media. We definitely don't have a lot of the outlets just across the web that we have now. We didn't have virtual meetings, at least that I was aware of, that existed. So there wasn't this visibility like there is now around just, first of all, people's problems being out in the open, which I think is actually a good thing because it encourages others to be like, oh, that person's kind of like me, which is where the whole sober exec came from. But 2005, I'm very stubborn. I tend to do things the hard way. I could have gone to outpatient clinics. I could have gone to AA. Nope. I went to the library and I found books and I read. And I had a couple friends that I confided in, and I went to a couple AA meetings, but I very much did it, what I'd say, just very kind of stubbornly. I went to ground, and I'm just somebody who learns through like reading and just sort of self-education and life hacking my own approach to it. Don't necessarily recommend that. There's so many great options, especially now, tons of options now. But I chose a hard path. And so I was just trying to understand, you know, what's wrong with me. And by the way, it's worth noting, I saw myself as a complete absolute failure in 2005. The fact that I had to stop drinking, I couldn't handle drinking in a personal and professional setting, to me in 2005, meant that I was an absolute positive loser, that I couldn't hold my liquor. I couldn't be, Freddie, as you were talking about, these social moments where I couldn't be out and wining and dining anymore. I was going to have to now manufacture reasons why I wasn't drinking, manufacture reasons why I wasn't the fun party guy, quote unquote, that I was before. By the way, I spent 15 years feeling that way, but I did it the hard way. And I saw it as a complete failure, which is a mistake, but we can talk about that.
Can I ask you a personal question, Chris?
Please.
I hope you don't mind me asking this. How old are you and how old were you when you decided to stop drinking?
Yeah, so I'm thinking about this actually a lot right now. I'm going to be turning 50 in 36 days. February 15th, I turn 50.
Ah, yes, we share a birthday.
Heck yeah, brilliant.
How crazy is that? Yeah. I turned 40 on February 15th. So we're exactly 10 years apart.
That's
we're
exactly awesome. 10 years apart.
Yeah. So 16, it'll be 16 years ago. Yeah, 2005.
So in 2005, I am useless at maths. You were 30. Late 30s.
Gosh, yes.
No, come on, somebody help me because I can't 30s, do this. Yeah. I can't do it.
That's okay. It's okay. Mid-30s. Yes, mid-30s.
Late 30s, which is really interesting because Ben is now doing this and he's not quite late 30s. He's still mid to early 30s is our Ben. But Freddie is, you were the same age, Freddie, weren't you? When
I must
you
have been. I mean, what is it? I'll come up to 3 years and I'm going to be 4. So I must have been about 37. So, must be pretty close.
And you say, Chris, that you chose a hard path and you really bloody did 16 yeah. years ago yeah. doing this yeah. on your own without the millions of resources that, you know, that we've already mentioned on this call. How, God, I mean, we've got 16 years to cover. How was that path? How did you stay on it? And did you ever end up in the ditch, or did you just stay on the path with maybe a few bumps along the way?
I've stayed on the path. So thankfully, amazing. I have managed to honor that sobriety in all those years. Doesn't mean that I haven't made bad decisions and had rough times all along. And I think I would hope that each of you would agree that whatever we were solving for drinking doesn't instantly go away.
Oh,
we
still
need some other type of outlet, right? I mean, we're still who we are. We're just no longer medicating. And so, you know, I had a lot to figure out with that. And so, in 2005, there was not the prevalence of the resources on the internet. There wasn't, as I said, the prevalence of Zoom meetings, of course, or there wasn't apps. For sure, there was no apps. And there was no social media outlets and groups and all of that, at least that I was hyper aware of. And so, yeah, I definitely chose the harder way to go. But the other thing that's notable about it for me, and again, I talk about making things hard on myself, is that I said I was ashamed. So I put myself in a box with this, meaning that because I believed I was such an epic failure through my sobriety, I chose to avoid situations where I'd be challenged or it would be discussed. So some of them were good decisions, like not going to some happy hours or putting myself in situations, but I at all costs was trying to avoid the question, what do you mean you don't drink? Did you have a problem with drinking? What's your problem? Right? I didn't want to face that at all. So I just avoided it on a lot of levels. And I put myself or avoided situations where I wouldn't have to answer that question. I got good at it over 15 years of not talking about it, or now 16 years, but I went for a very long period where I believed that it was holding me back. I believed that my shame was just so, it was such a weakness that I was so not awesome because I had to be sober. What a loser I was. This was my thinking. Now I got my eyes opened very widely about why that's not the case, but there's a whole story behind that. But yeah, I rode the wave of shame for a really long time.
What's the story behind that? I could see Ben was going to ask exactly the same question then, because what you've just described there, that shame and that feeling like a loser and a failure, when you go sober and when you make those changes, in fact, the opposite is true.
Absolutely. I mean, Shaz, us choosing not to drink at its simplest form is making a health choice. Full stop. We're being healthy. Oh my God, why is that bad? Why is there a stigma attached to being healthy? If you say to somebody, yeah, I stopped smoking, would anybody question that? Like, oh, you're such a loser. Why aren't you smoking? No, but the minute we say, I don't drink, oh, wait a minute. Did you have a problem? Were you addicted to drinking? Jim Gaffigan says that never happens with mayonnaise. Like, no, I don't want mayonnaise on my sandwich. Ooh, were you addicted to mayonnaise? Funny comedian, I love that. But it's true. I don't know why. I don't know why it happens, but it is. So you want the story on like what changed my thinking? Is that the question?
Yes, please.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
Okay.
Just because obviously, you know, 15 years is a really long time to live with that feeling. And you know, a lot of people that listen to this podcast are sober curious. You know, they haven't quite taken the full jump into full-on sobriety yet. But that's the great thing about where we are now, you know, 16 years along, is that this is the kind of information that people need to hear now at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And my hope is that this does give some folks some encouragement not to be ashamed of this, because I spent 15 years being very much ashamed of it, only to be proved that I was completely wrong. So I spent 15 years being ashamed of being sober. And yet I still had a tremendous amount of success in my life. I have a beautiful family. I work for an amazing company, have built a great career, became an executive, just have enjoyed a lot of fruits of life that I wasn't viewing as, I wonder why that's happening to me. I never thought to tie my sobriety to the fact that I'm actually alive and healthy, and I'm going to be 50 in no time. I wasn't thinking that way. But couple big things happened to me. So at the January of 2020, so this is right before the pandemic, I woke up. So 2 years ago this time, I was thinking about what are my New Year's resolutions for the year 2020. And I had one thing that was really bothering me when I was thinking about that. And the fact was, is that I knew that in the month or in the year of 2020, on June 20th, 2020, I would hit that 15-year mark. And it bothered me that I didn't talk about it. It bothered me that I hid it, and it bothered me that like I was so ashamed of it. So two things happened to me that changed that thinking. The first is, and Freddie, you mentioned I get the chance to work with U.S. Navy SEALs. They're, you know, for anybody who doesn't know around the world that's listening, they're the elite of our military. And I coach and mentor SEALs through the SEAL Future Foundation as a mentor, as they make the change from military life into the business world or into the civilian world. So I mentor them, help them get jobs, help them interview, help translate the skills and do all this. But if you know anything at all about Navy SEALs, they're kind of a really tough group of guys, like really well known for mental toughness. And there's books and Hollywood and everything else. But badass is the word I would use. Well, I would never imagine telling a Navy SEAL back in the day that I was sober. That's not tough. That's not being cool. That's not, why would I tell a SEAL that I'm sober? But one day I was coaching a SEAL, became a pretty good friend of mine. And I told him that I was coming up on 15 years of sobriety. And he's like, whoa, wait a second. What? And I said, yeah, I'm coming up on 15 years of sobriety. And he's like, dude, he's like, you have to tell everybody you meet about that. That is so badass. And I was like, what? Why would you say that? And he goes, Chris, you had a struggle in your life. You worked to fix it and manage it, and you're a better person for it. There's nothing cooler. I couldn't believe what I was hearing from a SEAL. So I went and asked a couple more guys. Same thing. Badass. Good job. Tell everybody. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, maybe I'm thinking about this the wrong way. So that's one thing that happened to me. The other is, I almost get emotional talking about it. So you wouldn't know by looking at me, but I'm a huge heavy metal fan. I love the band Metallica through and through. And I get the gift to help their foundation, which is called the All Within My Hands Foundation. Really cool charity, helping those in need, workforce education, disaster relief, et cetera. One of the individuals we helped runs a food bank in Northern California. And she was in an article being interviewed about the money that the foundation had given to her cause. And she was talking about how the band had played a big part in her life of like helping her through tough times. But she was very vulnerable in this article. She talked about the hardships in her life very openly, like the darkness in her life. I couldn't believe that she'd be so open. Remember, I'm ashamed at the time of my sobriety. So I called her and I said, Kat, I'm like, that article, wow. I said, what gives you the courage to be so open? She looked at me like as a bonehead. She said, it helps other people. So my moment was this. I literally woke up in the middle of the night and I thought, wait a second. If Navy SEALs and Metallica thinks it's cool that I'm sober, what the hell is my problem? Like, what other validation do I need to be okay being sober? So that was January of 2020. On June 20th of 2020, this all ties back to the sober exec, I put an article on LinkedIn called 15 Things I Learned in 15 Years of Sobriety. And I put it all out there. I outed myself about my sobriety to the whole world, business world, created, put it on social media accounts. Take a wild guess how many awful, terrible things happened to me because I was scared to do it. But take a guess.
I'm going to say zero.
No, nothing bad. Within an hour, I got a message from somebody who asked for help that I didn't even know. It was life-changing help for him that he needed. And I was able to get him connected to one of my friends. In that instant, on June 20th of 2020, after 15 years of silence and shame, I found my purpose in life and why I'm here. It's to be of service to others. And I've spoken out every day since then. Will end the stigma if it's the last thing I do and stop being ashamed for making a healthy decision. So that was my life-changing moment. How's that?
Well, it's made me cry. And I think you're really badass.
Well, so are all of you. We're all being healthy. There's nothing cooler.
It actually makes me a mixture of sad and angry that it's taken 15 years for you to get to this point, because that doesn't say anything about you. It just speaks volumes about the society we live in and the shit that surrounds alcohol, and it's wrong. However, to be validated by those SEALs and Metallica, I'm going to do, is that the sign?
Yeah.
What's the hand sign?
Yeah.
I'm just the trying horns, to be some sort of weird rock chick.
I think so many people, when it comes to sobriety and other changes in their lives, they're ruled by fear. I know I was, yeah. I know so many other people were. They were like, I want to change this. I want to be that person. I want to be that person that I was always destined to become. But I'm worried about, will people laugh at me? Will my boss fire me? Will this happen? Will that happen? So many times we don't allow ourselves to be badass. And looking at your, you know, at the Sober Exec Instagram account, it's one of the first places I always look for if I need that shot of motivation, inspiration. Yeah, look at your post you know, growth always hurts. Crawling is still progress. Never run back to what broke you. All these phrases. And I think with Instagram and social media, it's so easy for people just to say, oh, I'm going to just roll out a quote and there you go. But everything that you write, I know, has come from the heart and from experience and from those hard 16 years, only being a step away from the ditch, as you say, which by the way, I think is a phrase I've heard you use before. I absolutely love it, because it shows to people that just because you're 16 years sober, it doesn't mean that you've got a force field, which means you're allowed to have four or five drinks and then it's okay. It means all of us, whether it's one day, 1,000 days, 10,000 days, we're all one drink away from losing it all. I think that's what binds us together. What I was going to ask you as well, Chris, in terms of how we can create the conditions to give people that bravery and to help people realize that they're a badass, because people should. And I also think about the workplace here, and again, that's a place that I came from. A little story that I haven't told many people is when I first started working again. I started working in a multi-billion dollar global corporation. I went in there scared, and about after 2 weeks in, so I had like my induction training, and you sit there and you mm-hmm. try and you know, be a good corporate citizen and everything. 2 weeks in, I was pulled to one side by the senior person, and they kind of said to me, you know this, and they kind of like shake their hands all the way down me, and they were like, you know this, and I was like, yeah, and you know this personality and everything, and I was like, yeah, that's me, and they were like, yeah. Don't do that here. If you want to get on in this company, then don't be yourself. And I followed their advice, and I did, and I wasn't myself, but I did keep carry on drinking.
Like everybody else, is that what you mean, Freddie? Like,
I think they were, you know, I was me. I was a bit like, ta-da. I was, you know, I was just like a bit, hey guys, we're going to have some fun and we're going to enjoy our lives and we're going to have some, and at the time we're going to have some drinks and everything else. And it's going to be, I made the crimeful decision of saying, let's try and enjoy ourselves and enjoy our day. And they were like, no, we don't do that around here. And yeah, that's a whole other story. But my question for you, Chris, is do you think more is being done now in the workplace to help people to be themselves and to bring their true selves to work if that person happens to be a sober badass? Do you think in general that's an okay thing to be?
My first reaction is I hope so. I really hope so. And I'll talk a little bit about just my take on showing up as the sober person in the room, and I'll talk about just sort of corporate initiatives and some firsthand experience that I'm having. But it's a little bit of a conundrum, the sobriety topic, in a way, because, you know, AA is very focused on being anonymous, and that is totally cool, and that is perfectly respectable. And what I'm here to say and share and hopefully help everybody feel encouraged by is that, you know, the ask isn't that you need to start wearing a shirt that says I'm sober, I dare you, challenge me. It's not that at all. And you don't have to speak from the rooftops about being sober. My ask is that if you are making a healthy decision, I don't care if it's not drinking anymore, not smoking anymore, or eating a lot less desserts. If you are being healthy, be damn proud of that. Feel really good about that, because the more centered you are and proud of who you really are will show. What's going on the inside says a lot about what's going on the outside. What's going on the outside says a lot about what's going on the inside. And so the first ask is just like, really be proud if you're being healthy and feel good about that. Gosh, if I leave anybody hearing this today or beyond, like anything, feel really good about being healthy. That's just so cool and so badass. But there are opportunities through showing up in who we are and our comfort level with sharing our healthy choices, just having confidence and comfort in it. And, you know, I mentioned that when I hit that 15-year mark in 2020, I did this LinkedIn post, and gosh, it was a big deal for me to put that out there on LinkedIn. I work for a company, Salesforce, and it's important to note that the company I work for, so I'm here as Chris, not as a representative of Salesforce, but when I put my post out there, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't go and ask for permission. I felt pretty good that everything would be okay, but I didn't go and ask, and I put it out there because a lot of people asked me right away, like, oh, was your bosses mad? I'm like, no, they weren't. I wasn't actually worried about that. But something interesting happened. When I put that post out there, three other executives at the company They came to me and said, good job. Hey, we're sober too. We should do something with this. And we talked and we shared our stories and we said, okay, we're in leadership positions in a very big multi-billion dollar global company with lots of reach and lots of employees. What can we do to be true leaders in this? And so we created something called Sober Force. So at Salesforce, we have lots of ERGs and equality groups that we do, like Latino Force, and we have Ability Force and Faith Force and Vet Force, veterans. And we created Sober Force. And overnight, we had 300 members that raised their hand internally. And either they were allies of sober people or they were sober. And they were like, hallelujah, we have a community internally. But what was so cool about that was, is that one, we created a community out of thin air of like just a belonging. But now we have other companies coming to us saying, how can we create that at our company? Big companies, hotel chains, airlines, you name it, competitive software companies are coming to us and asking us to tell them how we did it. And my point is that I'm a big believer, and I'll tie it back to that first point about being proud of being healthy, is that I think the more we can just normalize being healthy and not challenging somebody for making a healthy choice, the best way to achieve that in my mind is not beat a drum constantly about be nicer to sober people, but rather show up, be strong, and be proud of who you are and what you've done in your life. And I think that that will put a big dent in the stigma, because it's still there through and through. I hear horror stories every day. But I think the more we just stand a little taller with a little bit more pride in making a healthy choice, the further along this will get, the faster.
Chris, you said, you know, you are, you got many strings to your bow, but you are a salesman. And being sober, it's Navy SEAL approved. It's badass, as we've discussed.
That's right. Yes, that's what we discussed. Yes.
If you were selling sobriety, how would you sell it?
Well, I'll share how I'm selling it right now, actually. So Freddie talked about my Instagram handle, this The Sober Exec. And so little inside story on what's really going on there. So every single day I post a quote, 5:30 a.m. Pacific time, a quote goes up. It's all pre-scheduled, but I have these quotes that go up every day at the exact same time, and they're inspirational quotes. Now, come to find out, people from all walks of life love quotes. They do. People just love quotes. They love motivational quotes. But what I figured out at first when I created this Instagram handle was, is that my content at first was all sober quotes. It was all sober this, sober that, and you should do this and do that. And it was great. But you know who I was talking to? Just sober people. And that's okay. That's good. And we need to lift each other up and do that. But I made a little switch. And this comes from being, you know, attached to marketing for 25 years of my career, is I stopped talking about sobriety in my quotes. I stopped putting really provocative statements about sobriety out there. And I do this on LinkedIn as well. And I just focused on inspirational quotes. Now, my title, handle, The Sober Exec, it's all over my page. My sobriety's on there. But once I pivoted away from that, I started to speak to a larger audience. My following like massively grew because I wasn't putting something in people's face about sobriety. In their face, I'm simply providing an inspiration. And my point in sharing this story is that trying to just normalize, sober is right there in every turn, the word, the term, but I'm not putting it right in someone's face constantly. And so I think the key to answer your question, because I'm living it and I'm seeing the growth from it, just from the sheer standpoint of trying to normalize the sober term as being simply healthy, is that the pitch is this. In the same way that you would stop smoking for cancer, in the same way that you stop eating bad food in order to be in better shape, people make decisions to stop drinking to be a healthier person. Let's honor all health choices. Let's be healthy. Let's normalize and destigmatize any healthy choice from any walk of life. That's how I pitch it and how I sell it. But that's my little sort of background story on the Sober Exec. I'm letting this thing go on its own to all people, all individuals of all walks of life. Just to kind of feel normal that, like, hey, I follow this guy, The Sober Exec, and I don't really know what he's doing, but he's sober and he's an executive and he's got an inspirational quote every day. I love that. Because if the next time they hear sober from someone and they feel a little less judgy, I'm doing my job.
It's still bothering me that you spent 15 years feeling shame for being sober. It's rotten. I'm chuffed to bits that, you know, this has changed in June 2020. That is fantastic. And that you now celebrate that fact, which is just awesome. There'll be people listening to this now that, as Ben says, you know, we do have a lot of sober curious people listening, a lot of people who are already alcohol free, a lot of fellas that struggle for many, many reasons, you know, talking about mental health, talking about alcohol addiction, talking about stigma and shame. If there is somebody listening now that finds himself where you were, but, you know, in that time period of 15 years that just feels that they can't talk about it for whatever reason, what would you say?
Well, I'm going to answer it with a quote because that's definitely my play. But Jim Rohn, who I think a lot of old business leader, he has this quote, which is, "You are the sum of the five people closest to you." I'll say it again. You are the sum of the five people closest to you. And it's, of course, it's many more than just five. But if you think just for a minute about that, let's think five people. If you're an individual that is, if you look at five people around you and even one of those five would judge you for making a healthy choice, you have to ask yourself, how do they fit in my life and how critical are they to my continued growth on this planet? And it might be time to make some changes. I don't care what walk of life you're from. Addiction is an equal opportunity offender. It touches all walks of life. And I think the more we can reach out to help others, to feel encouraged, to not have shame and be available to help them, anybody. And so the more, like this great podcast that you have in your show is just normalizing this discussion and encouraging others, I think the better will be all of us just by being present, being visible and being vocal on it with that voice of encouragement. Chaz, by the way, one other thought. I know it bothers you that I was sober and ashamed for 15 years, but you know what? I wouldn't change anything about it because here's the deal. I mentioned that I've had a really great life in those 15 years. And even though I was ashamed of it, it put me right where I should have been at the moment that those SEALs told me I was okay. And it let me accept that. And so I have that story to share. And that's the way I look at it is that if I can help somebody not spending 15 days or 15 minutes being ashamed, worth it.
Yeah. Chris, do you have as a quotes man, do you have a favorite quote?
I have so many, I can't count, but I'll just give you one off the cuff. It's not, by the way, some of the quotes are mine, many, and I always try to credit others. I don't know who said this one, but it's one that's been sticking in my mind a lot lately, which is either you make time for your wellness or you'll be forced to make time for your illness.
Ooh.
And that just hits deep. In today's world that we live in, the opportunities to meditate and get well and actually sleep and eat well and take care of ourselves, they're right in front of us. They are right in front of us. There's tons of accessible resources right now in front of us. But if we don't make the choice, the active choice to focus on our wellness, we will be forced to deal with managing our illness. And I can't seem to let that quote go. So I've been thinking about that one a lot lately.
I love that. I reckon that Ben is going to make a note of that and it'll be on his special quote wall.
I do.
Very
I have
soon.
A quote wall. I'm now looking nice. At one of the favourites is Professor Green, who's a UK rapper. You're no good to anyone if you're no good to yourself. Nice and simple. But I love that.
So good.
Yeah. I want to share some of my quotes, but I feel I'll get laughed out of the room with Chris on this call.
No, there's no bad quotes. Never.
Are you ready? Are you ready, Chris?
Yes. Yep.
Don't do anything half-assed. Always use your full ass.
Sharon Hartley, circa 2019.
Thank you.
Yes, brilliant. Always use your full ass.
That's right. That's exactly right. That speaks to me in more ways, you know. I love it. Yes.
Freddie,
just inspired
one?
A future quote. Yeah. Freddie, what's yours?
I think we've hopefully also answered. I know Davina answered, or one of our community members asked a question around Do you develop the quotes that you post, or do you gain inspiration from other sources? And it sounds like a mixture there. In terms of my quote, yeah, I always say, if you want the things you've never had before, you need to do the things you've never done before.
Yes.
That's something I try. I think of that in more of a spiritual sense than a materialistic sense. But I love that one that you posted the other day, Chris, as well. If you're brave enough to say goodbye, life will reward you with a new hello. I think just linked to what you were saying earlier around the being around certain people or being in situations or wherever it is in our life, if we're prepared to get that bravery that we can say goodbye to some of these things and that it will be okay. Life will find a way. And by closing certain doors, a whole new world of opportunity and new hellos can open up before us.
It's good, Freddie. It's good. But is it, let's all use our full asses? Is that right, Shazza?
No, I didn't.
Come on, guys. My full ass.
Yeah, you have to use your full ass. Yeah, there's no two ways. Yeah, you gotta go all in on it.
Get that on your grid tomorrow.
Yes.
Chris, thank you so much. I can see, just looking at the faces of Freddie and Ben, I've got face ache. I have smiled all the way through that. It was just such a revelation, and it's not what I expected. This, it's just not what I expected. So thank you for sharing your journey with us so honestly and so openly. And I think what I'm taking away from this myself is that we do sing about sobriety a lot. It's why this podcast exists. It's why our community exists. But even 3.5 years down the line, I still get the odd wobble thinking, God, am I banging on? Dear God. But no, absolutely not. I'm going to be even more proud of what we're doing and what we're shouting about because of that one person that it helps. So thank you for being an absolute badass, Chris. It has been awesome. If people want to find out more about what you do and where can they read these quotes, just share your social media with us, please.
Yeah, and would just echo back gratitude to you, Freddie and Ben as well. This has been such a treat and a joy having listened to the podcast and following along for a while now, but also just I got the face aches too from smiling, and it's always just so healthy to, you know, be reminded of like how extremely extraordinary and wonderful it is that here's four of us together with some community. And I see you all out there too. And it's great to have you on this with us. But like, you know, the idea that we're here just celebrating health and being better people because of it is like the coolest of cool to me. So just completely made my day and made my week. So what a way to kick off a Monday. So thanks for recording this on a Monday with me. But as I mentioned, my purpose in this world is to be of service to others. And so I am all too happy to help any way I can. And there's a number of ways to get in touch with me. One would be is I do have a website, thesoberexec.com is one. And then my media handle on Instagram is thesoberexec. And then I'm on LinkedIn as well. So you can get me there as well. But yeah, I just can't thank you all enough. This has been such a treat and really am grateful for the opportunity.
Guys, I'm so sad.
Ben, don't be sad. I don't like it when we've got sad Ben. No, what is wrong, pray tell?
That was a great episode with Chris.
It was the best.
But Over the Influence is over for another week, and no, that makes me sad.
Don't be sad.
What potentially could be out there to make you feel happy again?
Well, I'm sad because Over the Influence is... We've got our premium podcast.
The premium podcast, you say?
Yes.
I would like to know more about this premium podcast, please.
I completely forgot.
Why don't you tell me more about it?
If you were sad like me because you got to the end of Over the Influence and you thought, I just want more Over the Influence this week. Well, you can now get more Over the Influence this week by downloading our premium podcast.
That's my favorite. Yes, it's the radio.
You can get our premium podcast now. Go to overtheinfluence.supercast.com. That's overtheinfluence.supercast.com. You actually can't hear that.
Do it again. Take a big breath.
Stupid.
Go.
Okay. Overtheinfluence.supercast.com. If you go there right now and click the subscribe button, £5 a month, and you can get our premium podcast straight through to your normal podcast app.
So, Ben, please tell me, Ben, so are you saying that if I go to overtheinfluence.supercast.com, I could get the amazing premium podcast and have Over the Influence coming in my ears twice a week.
Yes, you can,
for only pennies a day.
Yes, you can, Freddie. Yes, you can. I'm losing it.
Keep going.
It's Over the Influence, but more. The free podcast will always be free, and it's all about our guests. But the premium podcast is all about the topics. So if you're interested in finding out more about alcohol-free life, download the premium podcast now. Go to overtheinfluence.supercast.com.
I can't speak. I've got nothing to add to that.
Okay, let's be serious.
Can we never be serious?
It's a whole... We you can now subscribe to this. It's a whole extra episode of Over the Influence of the Month. It's just us three, and we each bring a topic to the table. For example, this week, guys, I'm going to be talking... There's an exclusive, because I'm going to be talking about a guest that we've got lined up for the podcast, a world-famous, best-selling... international author. I'm not going to reveal it now, Shaz. I'm going to wait to the premium podcast.
Thank you.
That's where we drop our exclusives. But I'm going to be talking about blackouts in the premium podcast. There's a little clue.
Okay.
So I want to ask you guys what you think. Kind of, I had someone talk to me before Christmas, basically, about oh yeah, big night out, and I can't remember it, and I feel like I didn't respond in a. I responded in a way that I actually feel a bit. Guilty about now. So I want to pick your brains on what you guys think about that. What are you bringing to the table, guys, for the premium podcast this week, which you can download now at overtheinfluence.supercast.com.
I'm going to be talking about your alcohol-free toolkit, all the spanners, all the tools, all the weapons, everything you need in there on this bumpy journey, this glorious journey, this surprising journey. So that's what I'll be bringing to the premium pod. Freddie, what about you?
And because it's the premium pod, and let's face it, it is the best alcohol-free content in the universe, I'm bringing in something that involves getting your foot up on the bathroom sink and a mirror. You all laugh, but let's face it, we've all done it. Anyway, to find out exactly what I'm talking about, then go to the premium podcast. It is going to be amazing.
And can I just add something as well? It's cheap as chips. It's ridiculous. It's cheap as chips. Overtheinfluence.supercast.com. There's a car park at the rear.
And you know, you're supporting us. We're on a mission, which is to shout about the joys of sobriety, as you know. But it's also to encourage people to take the plunge. If you're sober curious, we want to encourage you to give 100 days a go. And we want to support you on your journey. So if you do subscribe to that premium podcast, you are supporting us. Thank you. Go to overtheinfluence.com. I can't do it in my normal voice now.
No, please. You know what? It sounds dull as ditch water now. Please, can you just do it in your radio advert voice, please? Thank you.
So if you would like to get more, even more, Over the Influence, go to overtheinfluence.supercast.com. Thank you.